This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's
2 points. One, you say she served her time, except there was a sentence through our justice system, military justice, 35 years. So she hasn't served the time because 35 was what was given. And on the political side of it, part of the criticism is now, well, now Assange says you did the right thing by Chelsea Manning, so maybe he'll surrender himself. He has never made good on those types of situations before. This is a unique situation. Yeah. And it makes people feel like, well, maybe you're going to cut him a deal as well. Has there been any communications with Assange, any indication that he's going to come now?
Yeah, Chris, with regard to Chelsea Manning's sentence, I think anybody would be hard-pressed to suggest that almost 7 years behind bars at the Leavenworth prison is going easy on her. She committed serious crimes, and she got a serious punishment. She owned up to her crimes. She expressed remorse for committing them, this was an appropriate punishment for those serious
crimes. What about Assange?
With regard to Mr. Assange, I don't understand why anybody would believe what he has to say. We'll see what he chooses to do. I can't speak to any conversations. I'm not aware of any conversations. But, when it comes to law enforcement, obviously that's the purview of the Department of Justice. And any actions that they may take or any conversations that they may have is something that they would do independent of the White House.
So, well, Chris Cuomo and Josh Earnest talking about the president's, one of his latest commutations there with Chelsea Manning. The one that most people, the question that was missing here is, what about Bo Bergdahl? Who else is next? What else is going to happen? I mean, look at the number, Scott, the commutations that this president has already executed. I mean, he's far and away. I mean, he's outdone, he's outdone Clinton. He's into outdoing people, I guess. But this is the impact that this has made and what you're hearing throughout the military. This is abominable, the release of Chelsea Manning and considering all these things, that supposedly that she's in mid transformation as a transgender. That was part of the problem, supposedly, is that the military is not prepared. They do not have the expertise to do a surgery. A transformation surgery like this. There's been a couple of attempts, I guess, suicide. Compassion extended in that sense. But still, it's like, wow, look what happened. And as we talked earlier with Gail Trotter, the offenses, mounted up to over 100 years potentially. And, she got 35 instead of the hundreds of years and instead of even death. Potentially because of the treasonous actions she's taken. So those in the military who take their oath of office, who take their responsibility seriously, this is a real slap in the face as to what's going on. And, I think most people are saying, okay, when is the other shoe going to drop here? I mean, you want to talk about Assange, but what about that other 8,000-pound gorilla in the room in the name of Bo Bergdahl? Is that coming out next, or is that one of those 11th hour as he's heading out the door and as he's having coffee and tea with the Trumps? Does he say, oh, yeah, by the way, Bo Bergdahl's not going to be your problem, supposedly. So I don't know. I mean, this is amazing. And, the amount of people who, as you say, that are, the kind of damage that they have caused outside of Manning, I'm talking about people at Gitmo that have been released that have done more damage in murdering and using, weapons and that sort of thing. And here we have a president supposedly who is anti-gun and, very cautious about committing murder, supposedly. And I say supposedly because we can talk about the drone issue, which is a whole nother deal altogether. And that's the one thing about this presidency is there's lots of rabbit holes that you can go down. And in fact, coming up, we'll give you a little programming note. On Friday, we're going to spend a couple of hours with Mike Zulu and Carl Gallops talking about, yes, President Obama's fraudulent birth certificate. So you'll want to be here for that. This is Bill Martinez. We're live just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, that's our mission. It should be your mission as well. Should be the mission of everybody in elected office. Let's get this country back on track. How about it, huh? Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Michael Ware is with us. You're going to be rather fascinated with his story. He's the founder of Public Square Strategies, LLC, a leading expert and strategist at the intersection of faith and politics in the American public life. As one of President Obama's ambassadors to America's believers, Michael directed faith outreach for President Obama's historic 2012 reelection campaign. He is one of the youngest White House staffers in modern American history, served in the White House faith-based initiative during President Obama's first term, where he led evangelical outreach and helped manage the White House engagement on religious and values issues, including adoption and anti-human trafficking efforts. Michael Ware, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hi, Bill. It's good to be with you. I'm doing well.
Well, what a privilege for you to be, you know, close to the centers of power of the world, dare I say. And, I mean, you got to probably just go, oh, God, you know, what do I do now, right?
You know, a bit. I mean, it's you could prepare all you want. You could have you know, sort of. But once you get in the White House, the ability to convene people, the ability to see. In my position, I got to see the most amazing religious groups and mm-hmm. religious people and people of all backgrounds, religious or not, serving their neighbors in incredible ways, and that my job was in many ways just to resource them, and it was just an incredible thing that it's really hard to get that view unless you're working at the White House. So it was an incredible honor and privilege.
Well, you talk about the intersection of faith and politics, like you say, you've got people of all faiths coming in. You know, what did that do in terms of broadening your perspective about the things that you believed in?
Well, you know, I got this may be kind of odd to say. I mean, I got to interact with some of the most thoughtful theological sort of voices of our time, and mm-hmm. so you know, during the workday, and sort of during the workday, I'd you know, we'd be focused on adoption or fighting poverty, or you know, this or that, but a few times I would drop folks a line after and uh-huh. and connect on. So it did. I learned a great deal about a number of things. It broadened my perspective about the diversity of views and beliefs that we have here. But it also strengthened my own faith to see folks living out their faith at such a high level and being faithful and having fidelity, and and so it was a great experience personally in that way as well.
Well, Michael, as you're dealing with all these, you know, disparate ideas and desires of people, I mean, for you, you have the Word of God as a standard to bring it back to. Now, would you say that, you know, the Bible and the Word of God was kind of like your, I mean, it was like your basis for your worldview in dealing with these different disparate ideas?
Well, you know, absolutely. My my book, Reclaiming Hope, came out yesterday.
Yes. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. And, you know, a lot of the story of that book is this idea that we need to be, we need to allow our faith to guide our politics, not the other way around.
Exactly.
My faith actually grew when I was at the White House. If you'll allow me to get to, one of the reasons for that is I knew I had to plan time to be reading scripture in my day, or else I just wouldn't have time to do it.
I
knew that if I wasn't waking up a half hour early, or if I wasn't setting time aside on my train ride into the office, that it just wouldn't happen. So it actually created a discipline that then strengthened me throughout the day. And there were just incredible experiences at the President's Easter prayer breakfast where I saw faith ground my colleagues in really high pressure situations, and I write about some of those in the book.
When you talk about you know, being faithful to your daily devotions and reading of the Word, you know, I'm sure you realized and appreciated the contrast, what it was like for you when you were in the Word and those days that you happened to miss.
Absolutely. I mean, right. So, yeah. And you know this.
That's why I'm asking the question. That's why I know this. That's why.
Exactly. Right. You have the whether you're a host and talking to folks all the time, or whether you're you know, at the White House and meeting with folks, and sometimes on contentious issues. If I wasn't grounded, my ability to maybe be a little more discourteous than I should be, a little quicker to respond than I should be, was definitely present. And when I was in the Word, I was less anxious. I didn't feel like I had to manipulate the conversations in a way that would suit me and my needs. And so it had a profound effect. And it's important to note that there definitely were times when I was not, you know, so
right.
I don't want to, you know, there were definitely, I had to learn this through not doing it, you know?
Exactly. Well, that's, as I tell my kids, experience defines preference. And, you know, and you go through and you have your head handed to you a couple of times. You okay, God, I get it. And especially in, you know, there you are in the power seat of the world. You're right next to, you know, the number one man on the planet. You know, it's a spiritual battle. So I got to imagine your perspective of the spiritual world and the war that was taking place has been greatly expanded as a result of your experience there in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, right, not against powers and principalities, you know.
Well, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities that we fight against.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, absolutely. And, you know, and I also saw the way that that lived out faith actually changes things. It's important not to just focus on the negative and how we can fail, but actually to focus on the power of a lived out faith, the power of serving your neighbor, and the fact that that actually does make a difference, and that God will be a partner in those efforts.
Without a doubt. Well, Michael, I will share with you, I don't know that I've prayed for a president as hard, if I can say that, as I have for President Barack Obama. When we come back, I want to get a little bit more into your book, Reclaiming Hope, lessons learned in the Obama White House about the future of faith in America. Michael Ware is our guest. We've got more from Michael on the other side. Stay with us, America. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who've suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I've been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Send your emails direct.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Ladies and gentlemen,
NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, this is our passion to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. It's just about 19 minutes after top of the hour. Our conversation with Michael Ware continues. the founder of Public Square Strategies. He's a leading expert and strategist at the intersection of faith and politics of the American public life. As one of President Obama's ambassadors to America's believers, Michael directed faith outreach for President Obama's historic 2012 reelection campaign. He has just released a new book, Reclaiming Hope, Lessons Learned in the Obama White House, about the future of faith in America. Michael, you know, you're there in the White House. How often did you meet with President Obama over issues of faith?
I was with him, you know, relatively often, but I'm very sort of clear in the book. We weren't grabbing drinks after work and that kind of thing. But
it wasn't like you had a prayer meeting every day or you got together and prayed. Huh?
That's right. I was a staffer. And so that was the role I had. Now that means that when the president was speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast, or when he was hosting the Easter Prayer Breakfast that he started at the White House, was very involved with those. Was with him. But I try to be careful about not sort of suggesting more than what was there.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the meeting, and this was in the first election campaign, I don't know if you were there, when he was with John McCain and at Brick Warren's church in Southern California. Were you there with him then?
I helped him. I was involved in the preparation for it. I was back at the campaign headquarters, but I actually write about this in my book.
Okay, well, tell us about the takeaway that we should have. Because some people, and I would say people of faith, are having a little bit of a challenge reconciling what was conveyed at that, at that presentation at Saddleback and what happened in the succeeding years. So what was your takeaway from that event?
Well, I'm not sure, right, that there's a lot that happened at that event. The president made a commitment to raise the nation's profile in the fight against human trafficking, and he did so. He delivered the longest speech on slavery of any president since Abraham Lincoln, and then the U.S. committed hundreds of millions of additional funds to fighting human trafficking. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I have an entire chapter on this. He sat across from Rick Warren, said that he believed marriage was between a man and a woman, and that he believed God was in the mix. And 4 years later, his position changed. Some of his senior staff have suggested that his position was different the whole time. And so obviously the American people have a legitimate expectation that, that presidential candidates are actually reflecting what they believe when they run for office. And I think the president has yet to satisfactorily explain just what happened there, but certainly the voters have a right to point out the dissonance.
All right. Well, I appreciate your respect of the question, because I appreciate that people change. I know my views have altered, with new information and, as you and I were talking about, as we draw closer to God, we get, our definition of God and spiritual battles and so many things that are spiritual, get refined and renewed and all that. So I don't have a problem with somebody altering and changing their mind. It's really tough when you are the president, you're the leader of the free world and you're representing, America. And if you've changed your mind, I think it behooves you to find a way to communicate that in a way that it's reasonable. And that was, so I appreciate you saying that has been one of those things that's been tough to reconcile, the definition of marriage and what he said. And,
right. So I just say, one of the things is that, these issues become so partisan and so get loaded with all of this over the top rhetoric that sometimes we lose track of the actual core question at hand. And so that's I have a whole chapter on this in my book and try to get to, like, what is the reasonable criticism here? What is the real issue at stake? And so hopefully, you know, readers will walk through that chapter and through the book and feel like they're able to get to the core of issues and not get loaded down by all of this, mm-hmm. all this partisan stuff.
Well, some of it, you know, it's like, you know, the intersection of faith and politics. You know, there's I guess boundaries for faith, as there are boundaries for politics. Doesn't mean that they can't influence the other.
But
there are certain places where that takes place. And I think and this is just me speaking, Michael, you know, for what it's worth, is that our founding fathers looked to our states to refine that. And when it's done in the Oval Office, it's done with such rapidity that it doesn't give people a chance to really kind of absorb this and reconcile their politics with their belief system. And when things are, you know, thrust upon people, then, you know, what it indicates to me is that maybe that's an overreach. Maybe if he had a do-over, maybe he wouldn't quite do that, or maybe he would allow it to, you know, hibernate a little bit more. I don't know, but I think that sometimes, you know, I think that's the challenge when you are the most powerful man, is that you can make some very life-altering decisions for people and for a country, because you're the chief executive officer of the country, and there's a lot hanging in the balance. It's just about, you know, it's the very souls of this country.
Right. Well, you know, they certainly weren't passive actors, but it's also important to point out, you know, this came through a Supreme Court case. You know, as much as some people want it to be solely credited to the president for, you know, for his political advantage, I mean, even in 2012, he was saying that this should be a state issue, that it should be state by state. What happened was, you know, advocates and individuals were able to move a case in front of the Supreme Court, and so there was an opportunity to decide on what side of that case the government should argue. But it was a Supreme Court, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, your point's well taken. It definitely brought it to the forefront, no doubt about it. And you and I could be talking for days about that as well, considering, you know, that the president was a constitutional professor. But I wanted to ask you particularly about Michelle Obama's hopeless statement that she made on Oprah Winfrey. What was your takeaway there on that?
Well, you know, people are processing this election in a lot of different ways. And so I think the First Lady was connecting with a portion of the country that feels isolated and feels ignored, just as a portion of the country would have felt that way if Hillary Clinton was elected.
Exactly.
But my sort of broader point, not to speak directly to the First Lady, but to anyone who feels like the First Lady clarified or sort of went back just days after and made clear that she was connecting with an emotion, that she wasn't actually hopeless. But as I go around the country, I get the feeling a lot of people are hopeless. And the message of reclaiming hope is that politics is not a safe place to store your hope, to place your hope in. That actually
there is
more solid ground than politics to place your hope. And people think that if they place all of their hope and all of their aspirations in politics, that will somehow improve politics. What they don't realize is that actually when we load down our politics with the burden of our hopes that politics can't meet, it actually harms our politics.
Exactly, without a doubt. Michael Ware, congratulations on the book. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, it was great.
This is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396. 1396.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's
1-800-944-1065. Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Girl, sent you hallelujah. Girl, sent you hallelujah. Girl, sent you hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
So you tell me, how do you listen to that song without bobbing your head? You know, you just keep bobbing your head because it is so rich. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Joel Pollack is with us, senior editor at large at Breitbart News. His book that I enjoyed thoroughly, See No Evil, 19 Hard Truths the Left Can't Handle. Of course, that continues to be available. And we're going to talk about his latest book that he and Larry Swikert put together regarding the Trump win. Joel, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us.
Good to be with you. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Hey, before we get too far into your new book, real quick, you know, people are still fascinated by Steve Bannon. And you worked closely. You know Steve very well. And it galls me at times. And I don't know him. I've never met him personally. But what I know about him tells me that the narrative the mainstream media would want to put out about Steve Bannon and those are, that want to bash him, it's just not fair.
Well, of course. I mean, Steve's great sin was winning the election for Donald Trump, so they can't forgive him for that.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to distort. That's what happens. Look at all these cabinet nominees who, many of whom are well-known, had great careers, and all of a sudden you find out what terrible people they are. You know, I mean, it's par for the course, unfortunately, in politics. And all you have to do is survive it and move on and do your job.
Yeah, it's like, who wants to serve the country after that? I mean, and, you know, the thing is so impressive, whether it's Steve Bannon or Kellyanne Conway, I mean, the long list of people that are associated with this Trump administration and the Trump team, it is amazing. I mean, from his family on down to everybody. And then you go back and you go, well, you know, we started out with 17 candidates, and it really speaks of the breadth and quality of, you know, conservatives and the GOP, doesn't it?
Yes, well, it was a very deep field, very, very wide field. It also speaks to the mood of the electorate that although most of those candidates had a great deal of experience in politics and government administration, the voters chose someone who was a complete outsider, and we're going to see what that means shortly.
Well, I think in part, don't you think that Donald Trump was aided by the missed opportunity of Mitt Romney? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, Romney, on paper, Mitt Romney was probably the best candidate Republicans have ever put up for the office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had done every kind of job you'd want a candidate to do before becoming president. He'd been governor. He'd been chief executive. He'd made money. He worked in the public service. I mean, mm-hmm. he'd done it all.
Yeah.
The one thing he hadn't done is capture the hearts of voters. And people want to be led. They want their leaders to understand them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what was missing with Mitt Romney. And he probably would have made a good Secretary of State as well.
Right.
I think the difficulty is that lately, especially under Obama, Secretary of State's become a dumping ground for failed presidential candidates. And the recent experience in the Bush administration was that Colin Powell, when he was Secretary of State, became a kind of internal opposition to the administration. I think the Trump people didn't want to see that happen either.
Exactly. Well, but there's no doubt that President-elect Trump has, as he's made it clear to the press, is that he doesn't have a problem with people having an adversarial viewpoint. But there's going to be a time, like in any kind of team, that you speak your piece, we debate the issue, and we move on.
Right. And that's what I think is interesting about this administration incoming is that so many of the cabinet nominees have different views
mm-hmm.
On so many different issues, and yet Trump has still pulled them in and has been hospitable to that, has been open to that. I think that's a sign of experience, someone as a chief executive who understands that you need diversity of views in order to be as effective as possible.
Joel, I don't think this country really understands what it's going to be like to have a true, as you say, chief executive officer in the Oval Office. This has been, for all intents and purposes, he will be the first true experienced CEO in modern history, won't he?
Yeah, it's exciting, and we're about to see what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's some definite drawbacks to it as well.
Right.
When you're the boss of a privately held company, I mean, Trump is not just the sort of chief executive, but also the owner, and his dad and grandfather, he's all those things, and he has unquestioned authority. Working in government where you have to have a back and forth with Congress, that's a different task. And so we'll see how he adapts to that.
Well, Congress, not to mention the unions, right? I mean, that's all kinds of buckets of gum right there that he's going to have to deal with. I mean, he's already talking downsizing, the Beltway. And I think voters and citizens of this country have said that's been a long time coming. But this is not going to happen overnight. I mean, this is not like a reality TV show where you can just go in and say you're fired, right?
Right. You can't do that. And some of these civil servants, I mean, there's so many rules protecting them that they're basically impossible to fire. There's a very good piece today, actually, by my friend Tevi Troy in commentary about ways that a new administration can work around some of the entrenched civil servants when they give them trouble. And sometimes firing them isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you cut the budget, that gets rid of parts of the department, but there are ways to work around employees who decide it's their mission to obstruct the new administration. So rather than getting into the drama of firing people, you can actually neutralize internal opposition using other administrative tools.
Well, Democrats are still scratching their heads, Joel, as you know. They're absolutely catatonic over this election, and they are beside themselves trying to figure out how Trump won. And the best thing that they can hold on to so far is that it's Putin's fault.
Right. It's Putin's fault. Mm. You know, I don't think anyone actually believes that. And you know why I say that? Because...
Well, John Lewis does kind of right now, you know, but that's it's really hard pressed because here's somebody who, has got a legacy in and of himself and what he potentially represents. It's almost like he's spending all political capital over, you know, this ghost.
Yeah, and look, I don't think that even he believes it. It's a talking point that they're clinging to. Maybe they've convinced themselves it's true for political reasons. But, you know, if they really believed it, why aren't they asking the Obama administration to explain how the commander-in-chief allowed foreign interests to infiltrate our government and business computer systems? I mean, isn't that the job of the president to protect the United States? It's a big part of it. So why is nobody asking him why he could have had such a colossal failure of cybersecurity?
Right.
It's because no one believed it actually happened.
And this has been going on for a long time. This wasn't just something that happened just at the election, you know, to your point.
Right, right. Look, this is all the Democrats trying to keep reality at bay for as long as possible. And I think it hurts them because what they really should be doing is asking how they can reach out to those Trump voters, many of whom are former Obama voters, and win them back, instead of which they're disparaging them and insulting them by calling them part of a giant Russian conspiracy.
Right. Well, they're burning time. I mean, it's much the same way that I see, Joel, that, with this Trump administration, I see this new industrial revolution taking place. And those kids who graduated from college who were at the starting line are going to be ahead of those other ones that are sitting back in their safe spaces in the fetal position. And, we're going to be down the road and they're going to be missing the bus to their future. And these other kids that have said, hey, look, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get back to work because, as we've maintained here, what my observation has been that we have this pent-up productivity that's just kind of been, the lid has been placed on it for a number of years, and it's just been waiting to be expressed. And now you bring Donald Trump into this, and Bank of America, Wells Fargo, these other banks are reporting a dramatic increase in new business inquiries. So with this, with the mere prospect that some of these regulations will be done away with, that we will be more business centric, I mean, it's allowing people to dream big dreams again. And I think that, in short order, I think it's going to take some time. I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I think it's very realistic to consider a 3 to 5% GDP, which, you know, for the last 8 years, we haven't even gotten over 2%.
Yeah, and I think the American economy has underperformed, certainly under Obama. One of the big breaks on the economy was Obamacare. It created a lot of uncertainty about cost and the burdens of starting and expanding a business. I think that you're going to see some of the breaks begin to ease off and our economy pick up.
Well, Joel, we're going to leave it right there. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many of the nation's top plans, Walgreens offers copays now as low as $0 on select plans. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, which means you could be saving big. So switch your prescriptions and start saving today.
Walgreens, at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
For P150, P150 GA, P150 NY, P150 OK, P150 TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 1-800-656-4686.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
You got the invitation, you got the right address. You need some medication, the answer's always yes. A little chance encounter could be the one you waited for. Just squeeze a bit more. Tonight we're on a mission, tonight's the casting call. This is the real audition.
Oh God, help us all.
You make the right impression, then everybody knows your name.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
Okay, a little la-la music, why not, huh? Welcome back, America. 14 before the top of the hour. Joe Pollack is with us, senior editor-at-large at Breitbart News, author of the book See No Evil, 19 Hard Truths That the Left Can't Handle. And, you know, Joe, I couldn't help but think, not only that book, but certainly your brand-new book with Schweikert that you've put together should be something the left would want to read, if anything, to, you know, get some perspective. Because, you know, I'm not one necessarily to say, you know, conservatives and the GOP should keep their heavy boot on the necks of Democrats. The fact of the matter is if we're going to get this country back on track, we need everybody participating in the process here. And we need them to get over themselves and to be part of the solution, not add to the problem. Isn't that right?
Yeah, look, I think there's also a role for opposition to play. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that you want to have different views. You want to have arguments and debates. But where it really goes overboard is where you're undermining the legitimacy of the administration. I mean, that's something for private citizens to do, maybe. If people have their own feeling, they don't want to be part of the inauguration, they want to protest, right. Great. But in terms of elected officials, I mean, this is the one time when the country comes together. You know, it's going to you only have to do it once every 4 years. You know,
right.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's damaging to suggest to people that there's something wrong with the incoming administration. I think it's corrosive of our democracy, and I think it's unfortunate.
Well, there has to be a way that people are censured in much the same way. And I say censured, the statements, the activity. I mean, we got over 50 congressmen and women involved in that walkout and not participating in this peaceful transformation of power. It is not only a time-honored tradition, but it's a time, you know, and when you have like traditions, there are issues of respect and honor that go along with this. And, you know, to your point, Joel, and I am disgusted, frankly, and I don't know how to say the right words to put these people in their place in much the same way that during the Jeff Sessions confirmation hearings, when statements were made by John Lewis and Cory Booker that were broad-stroked, even the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, the statements that he made about being in the back of the bus, I mean, he was racially inciting and challenging the senators there that if they voted for Jeff Sessions, they were going to be responsible for everything, and basically threw the race card right there in the middle of the room. And I think that it takes some courage for people to be called out for that, just like these congressmen and women should be called out, that this is disrespectful, it's uncalled for, and unacceptable. And as far as I'm concerned, their constituency should be emailing them, should be calling their phones and saying, look it, you know, how dare you not represent me? I know it's a hard-fought battle and emotions, but we've got to be big boys and girls in this situation, and we got to move beyond the politics and honor what our Constitution is all about. Doesn't that trump everything?
Yeah, and, you know, as we're speaking here, I'm just seeing news come in. I didn't notice this yesterday. But apparently when the education secretary nominee, Betsy DeVos, mm-hmm. Finished her confirmation hearing and wanted to shake the hands of the senators who are grilling her, she went up to Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, and Warren wouldn't shake her hand. You know, and that's really uncalled for. I mean, right. How difficult is it to greet someone and just extend basic civility?
Exactly.
You know, after the Tucson shooting in 2011, we heard lots of lectures from Democrats about civility and so forth. Really, what they meant was civility for Republicans. You know, even Al Franken shook Betsy DeVos's hand. He's quite a partisan figure.
Exactly.
But there are some Democrats who simply can't be bothered with it. Civility is for Republicans and not for Democrats. It's a way to keep Republicans from being effective advocates for their beliefs, while Democrats basically don't have to obey any rules at all. And you know, it's just got to stop. I think that eventually this kind of thing has to end.
Well, Joel, you have a young daughter. What Maya is, what, 8, 9 years old now?
She's turning 5 soon.
She's turning 5. Okay.
She hangs out with the older girls, no doubt. She's,
yeah, right. Okay.
She has a lot of older kids. But she's quite mature for her age, but she's just turning 5.
Yeah, but you know, what's the takeaway for her? I mean, what is she learning, you know, at this point? I mean, what are our young kids, the next generation, learning? I mean, this is an issue, you know, I mean, this is class, you know, to have class, to have, you know, honor and respect and civility, you know, and to me, this is what the Constitution is all about. And this is, you know, I guess maybe part of the inside ball of why Donald Trump won was that people, even though he came in like a bull in a china shop, admittedly, but it was just that, you know, people were tired of all this, this false narrative and this false bravado was out there, and in a lot of ways, you know, disrespect. And, you know, and like I said, some people were, you know, kind of amazed that somebody who could be challenged for his civility was the one that was the last man standing.
Yeah. Look, I think Trump, at the end of the day, is quite capable of extending civility. You know, at times he's been very civil. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I thought his best debate of the election cycle was at the end of 2015, that Las Vegas debate, mm-hmm. where he almost sort of put his arm around Ted Cruz and said how much he liked him.
Yeah,
of course,
exactly.
He was back fighting a few weeks later, but he's perfectly capable of doing it. It's just one of the tools in his toolbox, really, for getting things done politically. And I think it's more effective in a way to be civil when people know you can be opposite if you're crossed. And I think it's, in terms of foreign policy, something Americans like to see. They like to see that the president is respected, not just because they're nice to other countries, you know, and they go there and apologize, as Obama did, but because other countries should also know that sometimes our president can be not so nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, it's really up to Democrats now to decide what kind of opposition they want to be. Do they want to be an effective opposition or simply a bitter one?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a tough midterm election coming up in 2 years.
Without a doubt.
They've got a lot of Senate seats on the line. I mean, I don't think they have much room to throw tantrums anymore.
Exactly. Well, clearly, the electorate said, we want this government to be moving. Let's get it moving again. And if they miss the bus, they're going to not get reelected, and they're going to be in trouble. And look at how much it cost the Democrats so far, over 1,000 seats in buying into the Obama doctrine. And well, they just got to, you know, like I said, they got to get their acts together really quick, because, like I said, I believe they need to be part of the solution. They need to be engaged in the business at hand on behalf of we the people. You know, with your book, How Trump Won the How Trump Won the Election, and the Inside Story of a Revolution by you and Larry Schweikert, what's the main takeaway that you want our audience to take from this reading?
Well, the main takeaway is they should go buy the book at Amazon and
do not pass go, collect $200, just go straight, get the book. Yes,
right. But the main thing is really what an amazing story this was. And how much a role the public played in it. This was not a historic event, you know, cooked up by Washington elites. This is not a story in which the main characters are in the Beltway or on TV. The main characters in this story were in the audience at the rallies. The main characters in the story are you. Mm-hmm. And I think people will find it interesting for that reason.
Here it is, you know, the forgotten man and woman suddenly was remembered on election night, because going into that, I mean, you had pundits saying 95%, this is going to be a runaway, a landslide for Hillary Clinton. I mean, shock of shocks. How could the media miss it so badly, Joel?
Yeah, exactly. Well, not the first time they've missed something, but definitely one of the most consequential times, and really, really exciting to see.
Was it a bit like deja vu? You know, we mentioned Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney was expected, you know, to win, not necessarily by a landslide, but, you know, people really wanted to believe, that here a president with a failed economic policy, he's dragging around the anchor of Obamacare, you know, the wars that we were supposed to get out of, the wars that we were still in, on and on at every turn. This president had more, you know, working against him than for him. But once again, his charm delivered the day. But Republicans and conservatives were still very shocked that maybe not as bad as Democrats are, but still, you know, we kind of knew how it fell, how it feels right now, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do. Look, and I think it's going to be an exciting weekend. I think one of the advantages of having inauguration on a Friday is you get to extend the celebration just a little bit.
Right.
And then you hit Monday morning, and it's going to be a tough but really interesting road ahead.
Well, Donald Trump says, I'll see you in the Oval Office on Saturday. He's not waiting till Monday. He's going to be, I mean, he's already been fast at work and on the people's business, as we've seen already, you know, jobs that he has saved, how he's kept that to the forefront with corporate America and, you know, and announcing, you know, some vision that I believe this country can hope for.
Yeah, and we'll see what he's got planned. We don't know exactly what executive orders he's going to bring out, but some of them are going to be very interesting and set the tone for the first 100 days.
Well, certainly the last days of this administration have been pretty exciting, you know.
Yeah,
and I know some people are sitting on the edge of the seats and going, we got to get this done with. We just can't handle any more, you know, Chelsea Manning surprises, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And we'll be right there covering it at Breitbart.com. So
well, you want
to look for my writing there and look for the book.
And Joel, definitely. And we look forward to having you back on again. The book, How Trump Won, The Inside Story of a Revolution by Joel Pollack and Larry Schweikert. Thank you so much for being with us, Joel. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA, and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks, FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.